Now, a key aspect of a legal system is some form of sworn testimony, where a witness comes and they have to swear that they're going to tell the truth and tell the whole truth and tell nothing but the truth, right? So that we say, hey, you're the witness for this case. Will you swear that you will do that? And so it's important that they do a couple of different things. One, that they would tell the truth, but also they would tell the whole truth. That they wouldn't hold back some of the truth that they know, tell all the truth, but they're also supposed to tell nothing but the truth. We don't want witnesses who add to the story. So tell us the story, tell us the whole story as it was, but don't withhold some facts of the story. That's what a sworn witness should do. Well, the same should be for those of us who spend any time handling God's word. We want to do the same thing. We want to tell the whole truth. We want to tell nothing but the truth. We want to give all of God's word to them. We want to be faithful to it, and we don't want to hold anything back. And so our principle tonight is this. My penmanship is not great, but I will do the best I can. We must stay on the line of Scripture. Never adding to it, or taking away from it. To be faithful handling God's word, I left out the word stay. We must stay on the line of Scripture, never adding to it, or taking away from it. Now, in each of these instructions, we will have a drawing that we use for that. And the drawing for this is simply a line. So when you think about this instruction, here's what it is. We want to stay on the line of Scripture, never adding to it, also never taking from it. So those who are going to faithfully handle the word, we stay on the line, faithful to the line, never going above it, never adding to it, never going below it, never taking from it. Now, let's think about, okay, why? What do we base this upon? So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2. And we'd love for someone to read this for us nice and loud so everyone can hear. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1 and 2. Great. Now, what in that passage, in those two verses, speaks to this principle? What do you see in the text? Somebody call out to me. Here's where I see it. Here's what I see that contributes to this idea of staying on the line, never going above, never going below. What do you see? Go ahead. Yeah, where do you see that? Verse 2. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it. So there you have it, just the most basic level. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Now, God would not have given this command unless we're prone to do that. Right? He doesn't give us pointless commands of something we're not tempted to do, but evidently there will be this temptation to add to God's word, take away from God's word. So here we see all the way back, Deuteronomy 4, this fundamental instruction for us. An important thing for us to consider, like, well, what are some ways that we ourselves are tempted to add to God's word or take away from God's word? So during our workshop time in the instructions, regularly we're going to say, turn to the person seated next to you, and you're going to just talk with them for a second, and then we're going to call out and gather some feedback from that. So what I'm going to have you do in just a second is turn to your neighbor, and what I want you to discuss with your neighbor are, what are some ways that we can be tempted as preachers to add to or subtract. What would be an example of a way that someone would add to God's word or take away from God's word? Okay, turn to your neighbor, talk with them. What are some ways we might add to or take away from God's word? All right, guys, let's gather up. What are some things that you talk to your partner? Somebody call out to me. What are some ways we add to or take away from God's word? Or we can be tempted to do that. What are some examples of that? Okay. And would that normally be adding to or taking away? Okay. Okay. Just naming them, yeah. Okay, so when we're adding our opinion that goes beyond the scriptures, we're adding to. Great. Okay. And would that be adding to typically or taking away from? Okay. That's good. Great. Somebody else? Yeah. So I've got something I want to say. It may not be in the scriptures, but I'm just going to give it to you. Yeah. Preacher's message. Yeah. What else? Yeah, I'm frustrated with this.
Which I think can be adding or taking
away. That's interesting.
You can misrepresent
what
the text actually says.
Okay. Yeah, your word was snipe someone, right?
Yeah.
All right, got that? Okay. Snipe them. I like it. Okay, what else? Isn't that so true? So we don't even take away, we just dodge it, right? That's good. Yeah. His friend, my friend does this, right? Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Good. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, and where would that typically be adding or taking? Okay, yep. What else? Yep.
I'm not sure which difficult one you meant, but sometimes it's like, this is just a hard passage to preach, and it's going to take a lot more to be faithful to the passage.
Okay, yeah.
Than to like, I'll just preach this kind of from the text.
Right, yeah, yeah. So it may not... The topic itself may not be controversial. It's maybe a hard passage. Like, I'm not actually sure what it says, and so I might just to dodge that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Would that typically be adding to or taking away from, do you think? Adding to, yep. Anybody else? Yep. No, oh, good, no, good.
When you create a ritual, a step, that let's say you have to use this version that kind of was this, or you push the word when it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. You have to wear a button-up shirt to be a good preacher. Yeah, yeah. Or, so, yeah, okay. Yeah, and, what you were going to say?
When you preach your theological framework,
And would that add to or take away from, do you think? Yeah. And there's kind of a broader buckets we've already kind of touched on that that add to often results in some form of like legalism that we're bringing. Sort of like what he was just talking about, right? Of like adding some rules that says good Christians wear button-up shirts, right? Whatever the case may be. What would be the big bucket when we take away? You might think of it as something like liberalism. I don't mean political, but I mean we're now taking away from God's word, right? And so those would be some broader buckets that make plain to this as well. And so the reality is, there's a lot of ways we can do this. And we would be naive, brothers, and prideful if we were to think, I would never be tempted to do this. I mean, in my preaching ministry, we typically preach through books of the Bible, and there's some hard texts that are very controversial in my city that would be controversial in this city. And when those texts come, that's one of the reasons we preach straight through books to protect the church from me, because there's some hard texts that I would just dodge them my whole life if it was left to me. And so I think we're naive to think we wouldn't take away from, but also, even for a good motivation, I want them to follow Jesus, I might be tempted to add some extra commands on top of commands, even from a good motivation, but I've actually added to the line. Does that make sense? And so all of our instructions besides this will be some actual tools like structure that are on the worksheet, context that's on the worksheet. This one isn't a tool so much as it's a conviction that we'll need to have underneath all the tools. Does that make sense? So when I start on, you know, whatever day of the week I start on my sermon prep and I start with structure, underneath structure thinking must be this: I want to stay on the line of Scripture, never adding to it, never taking from it, no matter how hard it is, no matter what it says, I must say what it says, not less, but also not more than what it says. No matter how much I love button-up shirts, I can't add in those ways. So this is a conviction that we want to have because there are implications for our congregation if we add to it or take away from it. So let's think more about how the Scriptures might help us to see the weightiness, the importance of this, why we believe this should be a conviction. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Would somebody read for us, nice and loud, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Great. With your partner, look at this text and think about who is there someone adding to the line of Scripture? Is there someone taking away from the line of Scripture? Right? Turn to your neighbor, discuss that. Who is adding to? Who's taking away from? All right, guys, what do you see in the text? Is there someone adding to? Is there someone taking away from? Who is adding to the word? How so? Okay, so he says, Eve, if you touch you, you'll die. How do you know she's added to the line? Where do we see the line? Yep, do you mind reading that out loud for us?
And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat, you will surely die. There's no instruction for touching.
Yeah, so the line is what? Don't eat, right? But that's what the line is. But Eve said, don't even touch it. Okay, does anybody go below the line? Anybody in the passage go below the line? Yep.
Okay. If you're written in Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
It is obvious that the man is in fact you will serve God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in verse 3 says that God so as to not take the risk of God.
Okay, so like, there's a chance you might die, but it's not a locked tight thing, yeah. Right. Okay. Good. Yeah. What does the serpent do with the line? Yeah, you won't really die. And what's his entry point that's often what we might think or hear that can lead us below the line? What are his first words? Yeah. Verse 1, did God actually say? So he's leading below the line by that question, causing her to doubt that. And brothers, in our churches and among our people, that's a common question. I mean, did God really say that? Or how might they say, well, are we sure that's what the text really says? I mean, is that really what the text means? Which can easily be the path towards going below the line. So here we see Eve goes above the line. The serpent goes below the line. Now, how was Eve supposed to know what the line was? Was she there when God gave the line? She wasn't, was she? The line was given to Adam. So Adam should have been the one to hold the line. And where was Adam during this interaction with the serpent? Yeah, he's right there. So it's not like he was like at the other end of the garden. I mean, he's right there. He knew the line. But he didn't hold to the line, and there were disastrous consequences for all. So all the way back at the beginning, it was essential to stay on the line. We see the ramifications when we don't stay on the line. So we see that at the very beginning. Now let's go to 1 Samuel. We're going to spend a lot of time in 1 Samuel this week. You've been thinking about that in your preparation. So go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. But somebody who hasn't read yet, read aloud for us. Chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Nice and loud. Chapter 2, 1 Samuel 2, verses 12 through 17. Great. Okay, turn to your neighbor and discuss. Who in this passage is adding to or taking away from the line, and how? Are they adding to, taking away, and how are they doing that? All right, guys, what do you think? Who's going above or below? What's going on, do you think? That's just right. Yeah, good. Anybody else want to add to that or chip in on that? How do we know that they've added to the, what is the line? Okay, would somebody, let's look at the law. Would somebody raise your hand if you'd be willing to read aloud for us Deuteronomy 18:3. Who's got that one? Want to volunteer? And then somebody else, Leviticus 7:28-34. So Deuteronomy. Great. So what's the line there?
You give the
Yeah, so specific parts, right, are essential. You don't just get to pick whatever parts you want. So there's some specific aspects are clearly the line. Somebody, Leviticus 7, 28 to 34. Yeah, so there you have, like, very specific. That sounds a whole lot different from what's happening in 1 Samuel, isn't it? I mean, basically, these guys have decided, we're tired of that. We want to make up our own rules because these are the parts of the meat in this way that we want it done. And so they're changing the line for their own enjoyment. Now, back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 2. How significant is this? Somebody look and read for us again verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. To 2:17. Somebody to read that for us.
Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt.
Yeah. So this was no small thing. This was a significant sin because they've left the line. And who should know the line? These guys. Right? If anybody who should know God's word, it should be the ones presenting the sacrifice. They should know it very well, just like we as pastors should know the line, stay on the line. Should probably be careful that we wouldn't be tempted to leave the line. We might think, oh, I'd never be tempted to do that, but these guys have left the line.
Yeah.
They've got bigger issues than just the line, right? They don't even know God, right? And yet, what's their vocation? Those who are to know God, right? This is a deep hole that those guys are in. So here we see the ramifications for them personally, the sin of leaving the line. Now, the reality is we'll all be tempted to leave the line. There are dangers for us individually, but there are also blessings for our people and for us if we stay on the line. Right, because what our people need, they don't need our best adaptation of the line, our adjusted version of the line. They need God's word faithfully delivered as it is, only the line. Turn over from 1 Samuel to 2 Samuel. It's a text you're likely familiar with. Well, somebody who hasn't read yet, we'd be willing to read nice and loud, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 15. And while we hear it, we're going to listen to who is staying on the line and what's the result. Who in this passage stays on the line? Nathan, right? In the face of who does Nathan stay on the line? The king. Yeah, so before we think, oh, it's easy to stay on the line, to stay on the line and confront the king with his horrible sin, but Nathan stayed on the line. Now, what was the result of Nathan faithfully staying on the line? Yeah, so repentance of the king. So there was good fruit for David, we say even for the kingdom. Now there's still ramifications, there were consequences of it, but it did lead to repentance. So brothers, we want to see there's great danger for our flock, there's danger to our own souls if we leave the line. But if we stay on the line, there's great gain for our congregation, for our faithfulness in ministry to stay on the line. So here's our principle. We must stay on the line of Scripture, never adding to it or taking away from it.